everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a feathery friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful tundra swan. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Kells and to Taylor. Thank you for taking the time to suggest this awesome animal, and I hope you enjoy your episode. To request an animal, you can go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and go to the Submit tab. One new feature on the website, if you love to draw, is the artwork submission portion. So many of you have sent in your awesome pictures to the show. We have some really talented artists out there, and so I wanted the Relax with Animal Facts website to have a kind of museum gallery of all of your guys' drawings. So if you draw and would like to be a part of that gallery, make sure you sign the picture, and in your submission only include the artwork. For those of you that love the show and would like more of it, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. It is obligation free. It is about 3 cents per day if you want access to more than 50 already exclusive episodes. A huge shout out to George Vlad, who has provided the ambiances for this episode. His work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to go check him out. And now we are going to begin to wind down a little bit. If you are a new listener, I welcome you with open arms to the Animal Podcast family. And if you are a returning listener, you know exactly what I am going to be asking. I have 3 primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a pair of shoes that you do not mind getting wet. We are going to be needing those for where we are going today. And the second thing I encourage you to do is to realize, perhaps, where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the neck? Is it in the shoulders, the back? If you are not sure what is tense for you, you can start from the bottom of your feet mentally and just work your way up to the top of the head. So are you clenching the feet, the legs, the back, the neck? And regardless of what it is that is tense for you, my exhortation to you is the same. Do your best to relax whatever it is, and you can even bring up in your mind some Jell-O. Choose a flavor you like. I like the strawberry or raspberry, and do your best to impersonate it. Become the Jell-O. And the third thing I encourage you to do is to give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into the Arctic tundra, where the tundra swan resides. As a Canadian, being in the Arctic tundra just feels like being in another home. And we are here looking for a particular creature. We know it by its common names, which are either the whistling swan or the tundra swan. These two names are used to describe the same creature, but its scientific name is Cygnus columbianus. As is nearly always the case, this scientific name can both tell us something crucial about the animal and is derived from some Latin or Greek root. The Cygnus part, that former part of their name, is a direct import from the Latin word for a swan, but it actually goes back to a Greek word. In ancient Greek, kuknos, which means swan, is actually referring to the name of a king of Liguria. And in this Greek mythological story, this king lamented his death and was afterwards turned into a swan and then subsequently a constellation. And the latter portion of their name, Columbianus, comes from the Columbia River, the type locality. So their scientific name literally means the swan of the Columbia River. The tundra swan, or also called the whistling swan, and we will find out why in just a moment, It is a species of North American swan that calls with a very soft, musical note. This is not the only creature that is infamously known for its voice or its tonality. We just covered the loon in a previous episode, and the loon is quite notorious for its calls. This swan has a black bill, often with small yellow spots near the eyes. We are here in the Arctic tundra where this creature breeds. This breeding time is during the summer season, and during the winters, they will spend their time in shallow water, fresh and salt, especially along the eastern and western United States coasts. The whistling or tundra swan is a migratory bird, meaning they will make large journeys in order to spend different parts of the year in different places. Now, while we are covering especially one species of swan, it might be helpful for us to look at what a swan is in the broad sense. The swan is the largest waterfowl species of the family Anatidae. In case you don't know what waterfowl means, it just simply means a water bird, or a bird that spends much of its time in the water. Whenever you read the word fowl, which is spelled F-O-W-L, not to be confused with F-O-U-L, more of a derogatory word, just supplement it with bird. The term fowl has fallen out of favor in the common usage, but you will find it in a lot of older literature. Swans are long-necked, heavy-bodied, and big-footed birds that glide majestically when they swim and fly with slow wing beats with necks outstretched. Swans are in particular known for their grace. We see it in much of popular media, we've seen it in plays, musical theater, TV shows, and movies. The swan has always been associated with this kind of grace. When they are on the water or in the air, no other waterfowl compares in terms of their speed. When they migrate, they will either migrate in a diagonal formation or a V formation at fairly great heights. There are about 7 or 8 species of swan, so we are covering just one of them here. There is the mute swan, the trumpeter swan, the whistling swan, which we are covering now, and a few more. The tundra swan is considerably smaller than many of the others. Sometimes the tundra swan is broken into 2 species, into the Bewick's swan or the whistling swan. The Bewick's and the whistling swan are indeed different, as they carry different scientific names. One is Cygnus bewicki and the other is Cygnus columbianus. The feathers of the tundra swan are white, though oftentimes on their neck and their head, the feathers will become slightly red due to their diet. If they are in an area that has particularly iron-rich food, they will take on some of that color. This is not the only creature in which this happens. Let's think back to the flamingo episode, in which the flamingo takes on that signature color due to its diet. The tundra swan has feet, legs, and a beak that are all black, with yellow marks near their eyes. When little baby tundra swans are born, they will have a pink beak, pink feet, and pink legs. It takes around 2 years for them to develop that adult plumage that we associate with the tundra swan. They are native of regions that are found in North America, Europe, Asia, North Africa, and even the Caribbean. Suffice to say that we could have been in a lot of different places for this creature, but it is not often that we can travel out into the Arctic tundra, so I figured, why not? During the mating season in the summertime, the eastern birds of the tundra swan will live in the Pacific Ocean, migrating southward through Canada and into the Great Lakes of North America. During those wintering seasons, they can be in Virginia, Georgia, Maryland, North Carolina, Florida. So many of you listening out there have likely come into contact with this awesome bird. They will live in freshwater pools, grasslands, marshes, and lakes. They are social birds and interact with one another within their population. The tundra swan, like many, many other birds, are monogamous, meaning they stay with the same partner over their lifetime. It is typical to see mates of similar age and size. It is uncommon to see a very large male tundra swan with a very small female tundra swan and vice versa. So the family unit in the tundra swan is extremely important, consisting of both parents and from between 3 to 7 young on average. The baby swan is referred to as either a kignet or a cygnet. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. And when they go out to forage, they're going to dip their heads using their very long necks into the shallow water. They can also be seen grazing on the land, using their bills as little makeshift shovels. If you have ever come into contact with a tundra swan, it is possible that they may have been a little territorial or aggressive. This is especially true of the larger males, given that they tend to be more dominant. They can be easily provoked into opening their wings, bobbing their heads, stretching out their neck, or bending repeatedly, and all of these things can be a sign that they are not happy that you are there. But there is an important reason for why they behave this way. Males in the tundra swan populations establish dominance by fighting each other to protect their families. And so even though you just want to get a closer look, they can sometimes interpret that as a threat. A male tundra swan is called a cob, while a female is called a pen. I have no idea why that is, but it is. Perhaps there is a very good reason for this, but sometimes I suspect that researchers are just drawing names out of a hat. And an interesting fact about the swan is that it is very intelligent. We have seen this with many other birds, let's say like the crow or the raven, that are capable of solving complex puzzles, using tools, and much more. But the swan shares some of that intelligence. In particular, they have a pretty refined memory and can remember whether or not somebody was kind or aggressive towards them. So you can say that they hold grudges. The moral of the story here is don't be mean to a swan because they'll remember. But lucky for us, tundra swans are not carnivorous. They eat mainly plant material, but they will also eat stuff like mollusks and arthropods. The plant material that they eat will depend, of course, on the environment, but these can include things like stems, leaves, tubers, and other aquatic vegetation. Tundra swans during their migration periods and on the wintering grounds, they can be found in fields gleaning on the soybeans, the corn, and the rice that has been left after harvest time has been completed. They can also be found eating growing winter crops like wheat, rye, and barley, particularly those strains that are able to survive the winter. So the tundra swan is a very resourceful creature. The nests that they place are usually placed near a large body of water. This can be on an island, in a wet meadow tundra, for example, but they typically place their nests on low, elevated ridges between small ponds that are the result of different stages of Arctic soil. They will collect different vegetation, different grasses, tundra plants, moss, and more, and basically pull all that material into one area, creating a kind of mound. Researchers have named behaviors that the female swans engage in as forward building and side building, specifically referring to the building of the nest. The female is going to use both her body and her feet to scrape a cup-shaped bowl into the mound. Now, this kind of building behavior is not exclusive to the females of the tundra swan, but the males will engage in it too, deepening the bowls with their bills. It will take under 2 weeks, approximately 4 to 9 days, depending on how much time and how quickly they are doing this. The nest can reach up to 8 inches in height, 10 to 20 inches across at the base, and a cup measuring 7.5 to 15 inches wide, about 4 to 8 inches deep. If this is hard to imagine, when you have a free moment, it is worth Googling tundra swan nest. It can be a little bit of a challenge to describe this accurately, or rather vividly. and the pairs of swans will even continue renovating as the eggs are being laid and during the incubation process. It is like they are trying to flip their nests for profit. They are constant builders and renovators. At the time of this recording, the global population of the tundra swan, according to BirdLife, is estimated to be somewhere between 317,000 to 336,000 individuals. And so good for the tundra swan, they are considered as least concern, or those who we don't have to really be concerned with their endangerment, at least not anytime soon. That is always good news. And before we go into the name of the creature, let me just tell you a dad joke. Why is it that swans don't read directions? Because they just prefer to wing it. I am so sorry for telling that joke, but you guys seem to love it for some reason, and so I will continue. You know a dad joke or a pun is good when it kind of physically hurts to read it, almost instilling in you a sense of nausea. What a wonderful thing. And now let us move on to the name of the creature, swan. What does it mean, or where does it come from? The word swan that we get comes from the Proto-Germanic word swanas, or zvanas, I'm not exactly sure how it is pronounced, but this literally means singer. This goes back through many, many different languages. Old Norse, Danish, Swedish, Middle Dutch, Old High German, and it might just come from the Proto-Indo-European root swen, which means to make sound. Which would really make sense to me. And now let us move on to the review of this episode. This review was written by Estelle, who was writing all the way from the United States of America, which, as we just learned, has the tundra swan. Estelle writes, "This has been my comfort podcast to fall asleep to since around November 2022. I don't think I have had a hard time falling asleep since. Steph's voice is so calming. I am so grateful for this podcast. Thank you so much. Also, could you do an episode on the penguin? Thank you, Estelle, for such a wonderful review. I am so happy to hear that the podcast has helped you sleep and that you have been a listener for quite some time. If you started listening in November of 2022, it is currently October of 2023. Making it almost a year anniversary from the time of you listening. That's pretty cool. In terms of the animal request, the penguin, it's a great suggestion, but I just need something more specific. Which penguin? We have covered the penguin in general, and so now we have to go into each subspecies and learn about them. And so Estelle, if you are listening, I encourage you to do some research into some different penguins. Choose your favorite and write into the show as to which one you would like to learn about. And this is something that I will be posting soon as to animal requests. If you want to request something but think it has already been done, just make sure there are no other species for you to do. For example, if the umbrella term deer has been covered on the show already, search up specific deers. Some general animal families can have hundreds of different species. We are nowhere near even the foothills of the amount of animals that we have to cover. After listening to this episode, there are 6 or 7 other swans to learn about. We could do this podcast theoretically over a period of hundreds of years. There are over 2 million known species of animals. With 52 episodes every year, that can be a very long run for a podcast. If you would like to request an animal, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and going to the Animal Request tab. If you would like to submit artwork to the show as well, make sure you sign it and submit it online. It is under that same Submit tab that you submit animal requests on relaxwithanimalfacts.com. If you would like to reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can go to Instagram to relaxwithanimalfacts and send a message there. One exciting thing that we are starting for Relax with Animal Facts is a live trivia night. If you want to learn and have fun with other animal lovers, answering questions about our furry, scaly, and slimy friends, you can go to the Instagram, Relax with Animal Facts. There will be a live trivia night on October the 15th at 5 p.m. EST. I will probably make a separate episode for that announcement, but I look forward to seeing you there. And if you love the show and would like more of it, patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts is there. There are over 50 current episodes that you can go and listen to, all exclusive, ready for you to listen for only 3 cents a day. You can cancel at any time, and it is obligation free. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance used in this episode. His YouTube and his website are in the description. The facts that were used in this episode come from blog.nwf.org, kids.nationalgeographic.com, allaboutbirds.org, audubon.org, animalia.bio, and britannica.com, etimonline.com. Those are also in the description, and so I encourage you to go check them out. What a wonderful animal we have learned about today, the tundra swan, a graceful creature, particularly noted for its soft, musical note that it lets out in its call. There are still many other swans for us to learn about, and I look forward to that adventure with you. Thank you for joining me on our journey today, and I look forward to our next journey together with the next animal. Take care.